The trade conflict with China has officially escalated. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The U.S. has hiked tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese exports, an escalation in its long-running trade conflict with China. Tariffs on these goods rose from 10% to 25%, and we're talking about things like microprocessors, circuit boards, but also some consumer goods. The administration says this is in response to Chinese negotiators reneging on commitments at the very last minute. Negotiations are still continuing today, but even more U.S. tariffs could be coming down the road. The Chinese government says it will take necessary countermeasures. Let's turn to Jennifer Pak, Marketplace's China correspondent in Shanghai. Good morning.
Morning, Sabri.
So, how might China respond to this tariff hike?
Well, we've had no official indication on what exactly China means by, quote, necessary countermeasures. It could come in the form of tariff hikes, although China has taxed pretty much all American exports. There are also non-tariff measures. For example, American firms operating in China could have visa delays. We've also heard about products having extended checks out at the ports.
President Trump is threatening to escalate things even further and put tariffs on the rest of Chinese exports. Oxford Economics says U.S. tariffs on China have cut U.S. growth by about a tenth of a percent so far. But what's China feeling?
Well, we've heard one estimate by the former head of the People's Bank of China, Zhou Xiaochuan, last year, saying that the impact is very minimal, about half a percent could be knocked off from growth. But officially, they have been downplaying the impact. Yes, you are hearing about exporters moving out to Southeast Asia, but only parts of the production, because at the end of the day, there are certain things that only China can produce at that quality and at that price. There's also an unintended consequence of these tariffs, which is these exporters who are producing cheap products, yes, they may be moving out to poorer countries, but the ones who are remaining in China, they are upgrading into more value-added products, which is, at the end of the day, what China has wanted to do anyways. It's just happening faster.
What do economists you've talked to say about the possible impact on China?
Well, they said that it's going to be mixed, that, of course, it's weighing down on manufacturers like the ones we speak to. They're pretty desperate because at 10%, they say they can handle it, but 25%, they said they can't. But keep in mind that China's government has said they're going to help out some of these industries. So the industries they want to keep, the government is going to help them with the subsidies. But the ones that they don't, they're going to let them fail or have them move out of the country.
Marketplace China correspondent Jennifer Pak, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Sabri.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. S&P 500 futures down less than 0.1%. Dow and NASDAQ futures are up less than 0.1%, with the Dow future up 15 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.46%.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
As the U.S. has pulled back from the Middle East, withdrawing troops most notably, a new power broker is trying to move in, Russia. In the last few years, Russia, with its vast oil reserves, has worked its way into the good graces of OPEC and Saudi Arabia. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports on how this all came about.
The new story of Russia and the Middle East began in West Texas. About 3 years ago, American drill rigs were producing so much oil that the world had too much. Prices cratered from $115 a barrel down to $35. The Saudi Arabian crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, went looking for a partner to help stabilize prices. Enter Russia. Russia scholar Angela Stent at Georgetown is the author of Putin's Russia.
Mr. Putin and Mohammed bin Salman happened to be at a conference in Shanghai. They started to talk about how can we keep the price of oil higher and should we be limiting production?
They agreed yes, and success. Prices have risen to more than $70 today. And now there's talk of a permanent alliance between OPEC and Russia.
This really is unprecedented. It's also led to Russian arms sales to Saudi Arabia and to Saudi promises of up to $10 billion of investment in Russia.
Stent says all this helps Russia play the role of a great power in the Middle East. Now it's making energy investments with the governments of Iran, Iraq, Libya, Turkey, and Egypt, where it's building nuclear plants, says economist Carol Knackley at Crystal Energy.
1 ruble invested abroad in nuclear industry, they bring back just under 2 rubles back to the Russian economy, and they create almost 25,000 jobs back home.
Energy diplomacy has enhanced Russia's influence in the region, just as the U.S. is pulling back after years of military engagement.
I come from the Middle East, and I remember chatting with some people there. They felt that America is turning its back on its old allies, and they found comfort in the new ally that is Russia.
For Moscow, analysts say this new relationship in the Mideast ticks a lot of boxes. Energy deals, access to a warm water port, political influence.
What's important for the Russians from their cultural point of view is presence.
Theodore Karasik is a Russian and Mideast fellow at the Jamestown Foundation, a research group.
This is part of how they advertise themselves, that Russia is on the correct side of history while the West is not. This type of thinking appeals to many Arab leaders.
This new relationship showed up at the G20 summit in Argentina last winter. Putin and the Saudi crown prince performed a chuckling, high-five, besties handshake that went viral. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.